Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is light. Your word is salvation. Your word is our source, our strength, and our shield. And Lord, as your word says that he who looks into your perfect law of liberty, God, your word says that we look at ourselves, we see what we're really like, and then we walk away and immediately we forget. May today your word show us not just who we are and what we're doing, but how we can change and how we can be changed. Bless your people today, God. May your word change us. We are your people who are called by your name, and we humble ourselves and pray. We turn from our wicked ways and we seek your face. Please hear from heaven and heal our land. These are your things we ask for your glory. Amen. 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 Listen, guys, today's study is not like any other study you've ever been through. Today, the word does something today that it seldom does. You leave here sometimes and there's things that are open to interpretation. And well, maybe he meant this, maybe he meant that. Today, I have to give you almost nothing of myself. I could sit here and I could just read to you. Today, it is a Bible study that God literally gave to his apostles, his disciples. He said, here is what the Bible says. And better than that, he says, here's what it means. Today, you're going to learn a fancy word. It's called expositional constancy. Expositional constancy is a word that the scholars use to declare when God says something means something, it means what it says. It says what it means throughout the whole Bible. And the reason I say this is because what's the thing I always say? That the best interpretation of the Bible is? That's what expositional constancy means. Today he sets forth some expositional constancy that changes everything that you thought, everything that you think, and it makes us see ourselves. You understand? Verse 1, chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on shore. So if you guys remember chapter 12, when he did all that crazy stuff there, he told them these crazy things about good tree and bad fruit and good fruit. And he told us about unclean spirits. And then all of a sudden, his family, his mother and his brothers come to him and they say, hey, tell Jesus we're outside, come to us. And he says to them, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? Right here. He lived what he preached. And then he says, the same day, he walks outside, and everybody's like, where's he going? Walks outside, gets into a boat, goes on the water, and everybody stood on the shore. Verse 3, he says, then he spoke many things to them in parables. Parables. If you're new to Scripture, that's a really new word. It's a very interesting word. If you're not new to Scripture, I want you to forget everything you knew about a parable, because a parable is a story. Now, whenever you want somebody to really key in as a public speaker, as a preacher, blah, 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 if you want to be like you're a big shot, hey, I'm a big shot, look at me, I can, here's your, let me tell you a story. Oh, he's going to tell a story. Everybody perks their ears up. Story, oh, tell me the story. What's the story? What's the story? Let me tell you a story. A parable is a story that all of a sudden you have this greater understanding of something else, meaning it is a principle of heaven that you can now pertain to earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Please give me your attention. All the people that lived in that day, because it was an agricultural society, they were farmers. And he says to them, I want to tell you a story. A farmer, a sower, went out to sow seed. And you guys know when you till the ground, you guys ever see the farms when you're driving down 441, the old farms, and they got all these lines that are dug? They dig out the ground, they break it up, the fallow, hard ground, they dig it up, and then you wind up with these little ruts. He says, a sower went out, and I don't know if you've seen a sower. In old times, they used to wear a big bag on their side, and in the bag was the seeds, and here they go like that, and they go like that, and they walk right down, and they go back to the next one, next rut, and they'd walk right down the little path. And so he says, I want to tell you a story. This sower went out to sow seeds. Some fell here, some fell there. This is what happened to that one, this is what happened to that one. And they looked, and they were like, that's nice. Where's the free food? Are you going to heal somebody else? Are you going to say something crazy? Are you going to do something nuts? What is he going to do? I wonder if he's going to make fun of the Pharisees again. They were disinterested in the story. And that is really germane because look what continues to happen. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whomever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Please give me your attention. Some people say, so was he hiding the truth from them? Not right in here now. I read that story of the seed and the sower, and somebody goes, oh, I know exactly what it means. Some of you are like, I really don't care what it means. Come on, I'm here at church. Let's get to this thing. How long are you going to go? Music was a long time. Let's go. Some of you guys, that's nice. I'm here. I'm at church. I'm doing my God thing here. I'm getting my God on. As the apostles didn't understand, they said, why are you talking to them in parables? He says, because if they don't want to know, then they don't want to know. But what if they want to know? Then they'll ask more questions. They'll hang around after church. They'll get involved in people's lives. They'll do something more than wear a Christian t-shirt, which is really dangerous. Doesn't sound like that. This is not the Jesus that I heard about my whole life. I thought he was like this really, really nice guy. Because so far, the last few chapters I read, he's not a nice guy at all. As a matter of fact, if I was not a Christian, I would think he's a jerk. Did you just blaspheme God? No, please. Catch up here. I said, if I were not and did not understand what he was doing, I would think that. And hopefully, that is our example to follow. If somebody thinks you're a jerk because of your faith, that does not mean you have to now bend your face so that they think more of you. Oh, think more of me, please. I'm a Christian. I'm trying to have a good witness. Your best witness sometimes is people leaving thinking, that guy's a jerk. That's hard. That's a tough one. He says to them, I'm not going to tell you what it means. You know why? Because if you really wanted to know, you'd figure it out for yourself. You're not here for that. Those people that came to hear him, every single town he went, they all weren't there because of, why'd you come to church? I'll tell you why I came to church. Because I was overburdened with sin, and I wanted my sins forgiven, and I didn't know it. I thought I was going to church because the guy looked like Dana Carvey and he was really funny. I went to church because the music, you know, I was a musician, and those guys are good musicians. You know, this is the thing, these are the lies that I told myself, fully believing in my heart that they were real. But let me tell you what was going on in, as we say, my heart of hearts. There was a peace there that I felt nowhere else. And I knew that the forgiveness of my sins was just an arm's length away. And something kept my hands in my pocket for months. Me and my girlfriend would go to church for months. When we went to my when my girlfriend's parents invited us, now I say girlfriend because at the time she's my girlfriend, is my wife now, guys, but we would go to her family's church, and at the end of the service, they'd look, is he gonna go forward? Is he gonna get saved? Is he gonna get saved? I know this stuff, and inside me it burned. I just lied to myself, though. I like the peace. It's cool. It's a cool place, man. I like this. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that I was still going to hell? And I love what verse 16 is, one of my favorite verses. He looks at his apostles. He looks at his disciples. He looks at the whole crowd of people listening. He says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and didn't see it, to hear what you hear and didn't hear it. Could you imagine my brothers and sisters being born in the Old Testament and having to have just the Old Testament and wondering what the plan of salvation was? Imagine, he is looking at these men and saying, I am the fulfillment of everything that every Jew has ever dreamed about and did not see it. Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they followed Samuel. They begged and pleaded for a hope that was in their heart that they never saw come to pass. You see it. You have 20/20 hindsight, and do you not know how lucky you are? Don't you know? And the vast majority of Christians, how long is he going to go? Now, why do you always put down Christians? What I'm about to read to you is not me putting down Christians. It's some other guy. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Please give me your attention. He's giving us not just the complete understanding of the parable so that there's no confusion, yet somehow, some way, every other time I've heard this preached by almost every pastor, with the exception of some of the Chuck Smith and his disciples, you're like, what is this dude even reading? Has he not just read what the Lord Jesus said? Not only is he doing that, but he's also giving you a glimpse into the heavenlies. And when I've said this before, you guys have been like, what are you talking about? Watch. Right now, I am scattering the seed of God's word. And those that don't understand it, they can't see, but there is a bird from the enemy coming and just grabbing it right off. You're watching all around. There's battles going on above you. Your past is dragging you back down. Your future that God beckons, which is better, and God's, come on this road with me. And there's an enemy fighting. The end of verse 19, I guess it is. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Listen, please, tune back in. How many of those people who heard the parable of the sower knew what he was talking about? Or were they so earthly minded? Well, I hope that seed grows up fast because I'm hungry. I heard about you breaking bread and giving it away. Come on, get to the bread breaking. You know what I mean? Excuse me. I brought my son here. He's demon possessed. Would you please heal him? I brought my mother here. She's sick. Would you please heal? Don't you understand that there's more important things than bread, more important things than your kids, and more important things than your healing? No, 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 no. Come on. You know how long I drove? You know where I live? Now, guys, I want you for homework to reread 18 through 23 and ask yourself who you are. Because there's only four types of people here, and you ain't one of something else. You're either one or the other. And out of those four people described in God's kingdom, how many are getting saved?
One.
So when I say to you, most Christians, this most Christians, some of you guys are like, man, why are you always putting down Christians? I ain't putting down Christians. I'm trying to save y'all. Trying to give you the truth of God's word so you embrace it, hold on to it, because lots of people in the church go to hell. I don't like the way this guy preaches. He's always yelling at me. You're a jerk. Yeah, I'm in good company, aren't I? Look at this now. I want you all to take a pen. If you don't got a pen, take a pen. Ask your wife for a pen. Get a pen, because I want you to mark up your Bible now in ways that I have not usually asked you to. Please get out a pen. Because what he's going to do now is tell another parable, and I want you to have full understanding of this parable. Are you ready? Okay. Another parable he put forth to them, verse 24, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man. Circle the word for man, and next to that, write Jesus. Who sowed good seeds. Circle the word good seed and write sons of the kingdom. Good seed, sons of the kingdom, in his field. His field. Circle that and write the world. But while men slept, his enemy. Circle enemy. Next to it, write the devil. Came and sowed tares. Tares. Circle that. Right next to that, sons of the wicked one. Among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. Circle harvest. Right next to it, end of the age. End of the age. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, circle the word for reapers and write the angels. I will say to the reapers first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Please give me your attention. You have a complete understanding. Let me explain to you. This is what they call expositional constancy. Anytime you see him use these words, anytime you see him tell a parable or a story or anything, you can apply the exact interpretation of what I just told you to these words. It will change the way you read the Bible from now on. Well, you say, wait a second. That's your interpretation. Okay, I'll give you that. Hold on. Here's what I think he's saying then, okay? He's saying in the church, there are people who come to church for no good reason, except maybe to hurt other people. Got a lot of nice young sisters here, very attractive single sisters. I heard at Calvary Chapel, they have really good ministries there, you know, like singles ministries. I need a wife. ChristianMingle.com ain't helping. Match, whatever. Some people are here to network for their business. Back a few years ago when we first started church, it was Mona V. And after the service, and there'd be people in there, and they'd sit through the service, and they'd smile. And listen, we ain't never been as big as we are now. This is the biggest we've ever been. And we only had 30, 40 people in there. It's not like, you know, Fort Lauderdale wasn't up the block, and you can tap into thousands of people, but there was lots of Mona V people there already. So when the service was over, they wanted to help their brothers and sisters, because Mona V is from God. So they'd come in with their bag on their shoulder, their ice with their little cups, taste this, it's Brazil, it's from Brazil, it's a special berry, make you feel good. Listen, I haven't had a cold in 3 years because I drink Mona V. It's phenomenal, wow. And I said, hey, do me a favor, leave the Mona V bag in the car. Oh, well, listen, God sent me here because this stuff is from God. I said, okay, well, you're no longer here. Because you either leave that bag in the car or you can't come here. I'm not coming back to your church. That's why you don't have a bigger church, Ryan. Another one. He says, what do you want to do with those people? He said, you know what? Let them stay there and grow up with the wheat. Well, here I am throwing all these people out. God's like, don't do that. Okay, I won't do that. When do I start doing that? Well, that's another chapter we'll discuss in another day. Okay. So there is a path that I can throw people out? Absolutely. Okay, just want to make sure. Yes, he wasn't telling us consistently and constantly that you let them hurt other people there and you just smile. No, there is a path. However, here, now again, because he's saying the field is the world, not only was he talking about within the framework of a church, guys, he's also talking about churches themselves. You've heard me say this. When somebody tells me they go to church, it used to be, yes, they started going to church. Yes, they're going to church. Now, it's like, I brace myself. Which church? What church are you going to? Universalist? Some churches. What? Well, listen, look how many people go to that church. There's 10,000 people that go to that church. If God was against that church, he wouldn't be blessing it so much. Really? And having all those people is a blessing, isn't it? Yes, it is. Bigger is better. Everybody knows that. Look at the book of Acts when they had thousands of people. Oh, is that what scripture you use to confirm that? Sorry. You sound very sarcastic today, Ryan. That's because I haven't read the rest of the chapter yet. And all you guys that are questioning the things I'm saying now, I've set you up. Because as soon as I read them, you're going to be like, oh. He says, I'm going to let them grow. I'm going to let these churches get really big. And then you know what I'm going to do right before? I'm going to bind them up and I'm going to burn them in front of everybody so everybody can see them up in smoke. And every other church, every other pastor, every other person who devours other people can watch them burn in smoke and say, this is what your future holds if you don't stop that nonsense you're doing. So when you go to a church, know that there are people in that church. Also, when you go to a church, know that there are churches. That God is saying, in the end, I'm going to tie them up and I'm going to burn them. And everybody's going to see the smoke. And that completely confirms what the Bible says in the book of Revelation 2 and 3 when he writes a letter to the churches. And he's a big church and he says, oh, you think you're smart? You think you're so special because you're big? I got news for you. You're not even a church. Well, you can call yourself church. You can call yourself church by this or church by that or church by this, but you're not a church. You know what you are? Nothing. You're just a bunch of people that get together and tell each other you're okay and sing stupid songs that don't even bring glory to me. You are being cynical today, Ryan. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven, I'm sorry, back up, verse 31, my bad. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Please give me your attention. Proof number one that God is not into big churches, right here. Another parable he put forth saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Well, what's the big deal about a mustard seed? He immediately says to that, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, what's the man? What's his field? Okay, so he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed. And he took the seed and he put it into the world. The Lord Jesus took it and put it into the world, right? Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. Now, please give me your attention. How many of you all have herb gardens? Anybody? You have a herb garden? No? How many of you guys grow weed? I mean, what do you want to say? Okay, so you have a box. You have a box in your window, and you put your little seeds in it, and your little herbs grow up, and you pick it out, and you put it in your sauce. We used to have basil. Anybody have bay leaves, basil? It's an Italian thing. Rosemary, and your little tiny sprig. And you notice that those herbs, they change the whole sauce. If you just take a couple of bay leaves. In my house, I don't know if you guys have, you'd be eating your pasta, you'd roll your spaghetti up on it, all of a sudden, there'd be a leaf sticking out, and be like, because all it takes is one leaf, the whole, you understand? Please pay attention to that now. So he says to them that it's like an herb. Now, the biggest mustard plant is about the size of this pulpit. It's a little bigger than a herb. But he says this particular thing becomes a tree. Now, some well-intended preachers say, well, here's the proper interpretation of this. The proper interpretation is God takes his little church and puts it into the world, and everybody comes to it so that it gets so big so that everybody can find shelter and shade there. That doesn't meet the expositional constancy test. It's illogical from Scripture. It is a corruption of the Word. Do you understand why? Again, continue, look how he finishes this. He says, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He says, I take my little church so that I take this little church, the little seed, the people of God are the seeds, right? What are seeds? The seeds are not the Word of God, which some people think. Seeds are the people that have the Word of God in them. Going back, remember, good seed, sons of the kingdom. I take it and I put it in the world, and it's supposed to spring up and bring people. But what happens, some of them get to trees. Expositional constancy also tells us birds are the things that snatch the seed away. More often, 99 out of 100 times, a bird is mentioned in Scripture, with the exception of eagles. They are snatching away the seeds. They are pulling the people of God away. He says, and when the thing is so big, it becomes a freak. You know who winds up hanging out in that church? Not just the tares, the birds. You seeing this? Okay, continuing. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. You guys know what yeast is. And you guys ever make pizza or anything with yeast? So we used to, growing up, I work in a pizzeria, and we take like bucket fulls of flour. We had this gigantic mixer. The arm was like this big, and we put the water in. And then the owner used to cut a little tiny slice of yeast. He goes, "So what's that?" He's gonna make the whole thing rise. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, it's crazy. First time I remember, he made the yeast, and then we'd take it out and we'd cut it up and we'd weigh it and we'd roll it up and put it into these metal pans, and then we put it in the fridge. And the next day we'd start pulling them out, and that'd be enough pizza dough for the one day, hopefully. Well, one time it was really late at night. The guy said, "Close up." "Okay, I'll close up. I'm smarter than everybody else." We make the batch of pizza dough, put it on the counter. My friend's like, "Come on, we're gonna go out." I'm like, "Oh man, I'm 16 years old." I'm like, "Bro, I'll come here early and I'll do it tomorrow morning." You guys know what happened, right? I get up early in the morning, like 9 o'clock, after being out all night. I gotta cut the pizza dough. I promised him I was gonna do it. I opened that door and I was like, "Oh my goodness. The pizza dough that at one point was like this, now it's like crawled over the counter, on the floor, creeping up the thing." I'm like, "I'm telling you, it was the blob." It was the blob. There it was. This thing rose. But here's the thing now. That wasn't leaven. You know what leaven is that he's speaking of here? If you take some of that dough that's already risen, and you cut a piece of that off, you can take that and put that in any other place, and it'll leaven, it'll make the whole other thing rise. So smart. You're not going to outsmart God. I'm telling you, he's too smart. So here's what he says here. Look at this. A woman took leaven and hid it in 3 measures till all was leavened. Now listen to me. All it takes is a few of the sons of the enemy in a church to wreck the whole church. Now, there's no expositional constancy here, please. Please, ladies, please listen to me. There is no expositional constancy here. But this woman is not a good woman. I'm not saying that all women are bad. This woman is bad because she took a little leaven and she hid it where she wanted to hide it, and it wrecked the whole thing. You follow me? Now, watch what the Lord is doing. Rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. So when I tell you why God doesn't want churches to get so freakishly big, and you go, "I don't see that there, here's the way I see it," know that you're going against everything that he's saying in Scripture. Continuing. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house, and the disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." Oh, you want to know what that meant. Now, that is what's supposed to happen when you're a disciple, when you're an apostle, when you understand. You told that story. Tell me what that means. Because I didn't understand it, but I just want to make sure we're cool. You understand? People who go, "Well, that's a nice story. Thank you." You ever talk to somebody and they use these words? "Really?" Let me interpret "really," expositional constancy. "I don't care. Finish up, please." No kidding. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Say that again. What did that mean? Explain that to me. Say it again. Aren't you listening? I was listening, but I want to listen again, closer. He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." And you thought I made the whole thing up. You doubted me. Now you're going to go and reread that and go, "Oh, that's why he told us to do that. I wasn't interpreting it myself. I don't have the authority to do that. I was only telling you what Jesus himself said." Can you read that again so I can now circle? Now you want to circle it? Too late. You should have listened to me in the first place. Verse 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You thought I was being mean, right? When I said he's going to burn them and you're going to see the smoke. And you guys are like, man, he is upset. He was worse. He's worse than me. Jesus is worse than me. Because he said, there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now let me explain to you what that is. Ready? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Hallelujah to that one. He who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Let him hear. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I can deal with that. I think I can go, I think I can ride with anything the world throws at me as long as I can hold on to that promise of verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I think I can say no to anything that comes my way. Hey, Ryan, you want to snort this? No. Hey, Ryan, you want to do this? No. Hey, Ryan, you want some of this? No. I've chosen righteousness. Why? Because I'm going to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of my Father. And shining forth in the kingdom of my Father is better than any sex, drugs, or rock and roll you can offer me. I'm sorry. I've come to that conclusion at 50 years old, and I ain't turning back. And God do so to me and more if I change my mind. Verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, please give me attention. He says, right after he says, those the righteous that shine forth, he does something very, very interesting. He switches gears now, because it's like he's really hammered home the message of the woes. If you've never read scripture and never read the Old Testament, you have wheel and woe. Woe is woe unto you. Wheel is hallelujah. That's the two. Woe and wheel. He's given us the woe. Now he gives us the wheel. Are you with us? He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Now, the way I first understood that in reading it myself without having a good teacher tell me is, okay, so me, I find the kingdom, I sell everything that I have, and I buy that field. I go into that. Expositional constancy doesn't bear that out, though. And here's the part that makes it ultra, ultra special for us. How much does the kingdom of heaven cost us? Zero. So, speaking on a condition of what the Bible teaches, we don't pay anything for it, do we? Who paid for it? God did with his son, didn't he? So guess this. Wait a second. And this is the hard part for people like myself, people like Tony, people like Kirk. We know how foul and disgusting we were. We know how we cursed God. We know how we lived for hell. And here's what Scripture is saying here. God found me a treasure hidden in the field. What's the field? God found me, called me a treasure, and sold his son for me? No. I'm struggling with that one. Because I know what my real worth and my real value is. and it ain't Jesus Christ. He goes on and continues to expound, and he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Please give me your attention. Because there were those who would not come to know him in the kingdom of Israel, he then switches gears and says, okay, I want you to know I'm not talking about the nation of Israel. Why do you say that? Do you know where a pearl was found? In shellfish. Do you know what Jews are not supposed to eat according to the law? Shellfish. So let me tell you something. Two things. Number one, he's talking about those that are non-Jews here. And this is the best part. If you're the only one, he's still dying for you. It's not like he looked into the future and said, well, Ryan, he's going to preach the word of God, so I'll take Raquel with him. No, no. He says, Raquel, if you're the only one, I'm going to die anyway for you. You're not a package deal here. Look how he illustrates this, guys. When he found one pearl of great price, you, my brothers and sisters, according to this scripture, going by expositional constancy, are his pearl of great price. And he sold all that he had and bought you, for you were bought at a price. Wow. Is this not humbling? Is this not amazing? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Please, before you read 49, dragnet is this giant net. They still use them today. Some of them are miles long, and they drag the sea and then they pull them up on the boat and they go, we don't need that one. We don't need that one. That's the one we need. He said, that's how it's going to be. So many people will be attracted to the kingdom of God that at the end of the age, he's going to have to take everything at once and go, you can come, you can't, you can't. So don't go to church and go, I'm going to trust everybody. We used to have these homeless people that came, they lived out of their car, and for the most part, they were nice people, but they were shysters. And they parked their car right out front, and they leave their window cracked, and people thinking they were doing good. You'd go by the car at the end of the day, and there'd be money put in there. I was like, man, you guys have the nice, I had to tell the church at one point, listen, you guys have the most wonderful heart. Stop giving them money. You're not helping them. Giving people money may seem like nice. It might be a nice Band-Aid on your spirit, but maybe God's taken away all that they have to get them to come to him. And now you're stopping the good work from happening. But they're already in church. That doesn't mean anything. Maybe they're a tear. Maybe they're that close and the $20 you put in the car is rescuing them again. No, you can go. You can stay. You can go. You can stay. This kind of tears away your idea of what the Lord Jesus was about. It really does. And here's what happens. You're going to forget about this in another couple of weeks because you're going to go back to your life and you're going to hear the way the world tells you stories about the Lord Jesus, or you're going to hear another story about him, how he was a really nice guy one day, and you're going to forget about all this. Don't forget about him. Don't forget about this. You got to keep reading this. This section of scripture should haunt you the rest of your life. This should haunt you. You should dream about it. You should think about it. You should continue to read it and reread it, because there is no way for you to draw out of it all of the preciousness that there is thereof. And you should always say to yourself, what seed am I? Am I bearing a crop 30, 60, or 100 fold? Or am I allowing the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke out the fruitfulness of it? Did I have a kid and forgot about God? Did I get the job I wanted and realized I didn't need him? Was I fell by the stony? Or did I go to church one time? You know, it was fun. I walked out there. I realized how much fun it was. Bird snatched it right away. Never came back to church again. Stony ground. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sprung up real fast. Dance around. But all of a sudden, you know what? I wasn't lonely, man. I met this beautiful man. He's so great. And I love him so much. You got to keep reading this, guys. Because maybe you can be one of those seeds, one of those sons of God who crawls out of the stony ground with everything you got and crawls into the depth of earth and bearing a crop immediately, some 30, some 60, some 100. Look at 49. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You want me to do it again?
No.
Hurts. Kirk? You don't care? Oh. Dude, I thought we were cool. Verse 52, then he said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. He said, I'm telling you what it is. A scribe, that was somebody who wrote down the word of God. If you're going to be a scribe, if you're going to write down the word of God, especially if you're going to write the tablet on the tablet of your heart, don't screw this up. I'm telling you what this means. Don't mess it up. That's what he says to them. He says, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Let your old perceptions be passed away. Let the new ones take over. This is what's up. As Kimbo says, that's what's up. And then the saddest part of the entire, and guys, so now that all y'all know this, how many of you guys ready for this? Watch, you're going to love this. This is classic. Okay, so how many of you guys want to bear fruit 100-fold? All right, how many of you guys want to be the seed on the stony ground that you never do nothing? Nobody, right? Well, as sure as shooting, there are those here that are seed on the stony ground. There are sure as shooting those here that are seed by the wayside. You don't want to, but you are. You don't have to be, but you will. And here's what happened in his day. Look at verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get these things? Now, they didn't say those things to him and go, oh my goodness, this guy got smart all of a sudden. Here's what they said, who the heck are you to judge? Who are you? Don't you think we know who you are? Oh, you all of a sudden, you went to church, you got so smart. We know who you are. Your mom is Mary. And we know about Mary, don't we, oldest brother? Funny how you're married 20 years, but you're 21. We know what that means. Now, you're saying, Ryan, I'm reading into this. No, I'm not. Look at the next verse. So they were offended at him. It doesn't say they were astonished to amazement to salvation. It doesn't say they were blown away and followed him. It says they were offended at him. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever shared with one of your friends or family members the things of the kingdom and you just, man, you felt like the Spirit moved right through you, man. And you just had, there was a first time you remembered Scripture and all of a sudden they were offended at you. And you're like, just tell me how to get to heaven. Don't you want to be one of the righteous that shines like the sun in the kingdom of his Father? Who are you to judge? You know what I believe? Here's what I believe. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That cannot be our response. That cannot. We cannot find ourselves with that response. You guys remember the book of Ruth? Okay. There's a man named Boaz. He goes to his relative and he says to his relative, listen, there's a land, there's a field available, and it's yours for the taking. Do you want it? And he goes, yeah, I'll take it. He goes, here's the thing. You got to marry Ruth. And he goes, oh, my wife ain't having that. He says, why don't you do it? And he said, gladly. The parable that we just looked at of the field, of the pearl of great price, is that not the exact thing? Here's the field. Do you want it? The devil wants that field, but he doesn't want you. He wants you dead. But the Savior comes, and he not only wants the field, but he wants the field because you're in it. And he spends all that he has, his son, to buy you. You're not a byproduct. You're not like a twofer. God has plenty of worlds. There's lots and lots of them. He bought this putrid, disgusting world because he loves us. He loves you. It's amazing. If they hated him, they're going to hate you. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Don't let somebody else who doesn't understand what God's done in your life distract you and put you down and put you away and discourage you from walking with the Lord because they have a bigger church or they have a greater organization or they have more money than you. You're driving around an old beater, they're driving a Mercedes, and you're trying to tell them about how they can get saved. And to you, that doesn't make any sense. God says, it makes perfect sense. I didn't come to save the wealthy and the righteous. I came to take the sinners and the broken and the poor. Close your Bible. Reread the parable of the sower and ask yourself where you fall. And please, you guys know what a soldier crawl is? You guys that do any kind of sports, you guys that were in soldier crawl, and most important, your butt's got to be down because you don't want to get shot in the hiney. Soldier crawl to the deep soil. If that means you got to start going to the ladies' studies, the men's study, and I know this is going to sound crazy, a Wednesday night service. But the Ultimate Fighter's on. TiVo is a great thing. And you don't have to watch your commercials when you TiVo it. Do it. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the righteous, they shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I know what I'm doing. I hope you know what you're doing. Amen.
Amen.
God, we thank you for your word, which, God, it just cut right through everything that we are. Everything we thought we were going to be, everything we were going to do, everything. Your word just chopped us to pieces, God. Your word is powerful and living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow, discerned our thought and our intents. God, and I pray if there's anybody here, and they're distracted, and they're fumbling, and they're playing, and they're just waiting for me to finish so they can leave, God, I pray, please speak to their hearts. May they crawl like a soldier to the deep soil and bear crop, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. May we be the one that says, blessed are you, for your ears they hear and your eyes they see. May we get this message, God, and live by it, never forgetting it. God, seal these things within us by the power of the life and the blood of our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.